Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Today is the day. It is the 2nd of April. And if you are just joining us, one of the little PSAs today is that today is Autism Awareness Day. So if you want to light it up blue, you are invited to do so. I led off the first hour with a reminder that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that the plans God has for us are plans for a future filled with hope, not for our harm. And a reminder that the ways in which we are born that the world considers flawed are ultimately for God's glory. And that's a reminder from the words of Jesus in John chapter 9. I love it when I see Nicole Phillips on the little, we call it a little tracking sheet, on the little plan for the day. So, Nicole, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Hi, Carmen. Okay, I have a really important question for you. Have you ever had puppy chow? Do you know what that is?
I know two versions of puppy chow. I know the kind that you're supposed to feed to your dog, and I know the sweet, the sweet, tasty kind that little kids like to eat that has a lot of powdered sugar on it. Which kind of puppy chow are you? I have never eaten the puppy chow designed for puppies. I have eaten the puppy chow designed for little kids.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I am clearly still a little kid because it's like, to me, a divinely inspired, tasty dessert. It's, you know, chocolate and peanut butter and Chex Mix and powdered sugar. So good. Well, there's a woman in Wisconsin who knows of a woman in Florida who is in her 70s. She lives alone. She doesn't have any family nearby. And so this woman in Wisconsin, who's a young mom, just decided that she would put this puppy chow in a clear Tupperware container, duct tape it up, put a little note on top, and mail it in regular postage to Vero Beach, Florida, to this woman. Well, this woman gets her mail, and she sees this powdery substance and takes another look at it, like, is this going to be okay? And then opens the card and is delighted beyond belief because the card says, you know, I know you've been through a lot in your life, and you are such a great example for others of God's love. And it just went on and on about this woman and the things that she has done in her life and, you know, what a great person she is. And this woman in Wisconsin has never even met the woman in Florida. Now, I know all of this because the woman in Florida called me and she was beside herself because, you know, who is this? Who is this woman who sent this to me and how kind is this? And that woman in Florida is my mom. And to me, it was like I search and search for the perfect gift to give my mother, but sometimes what seems like just a really kind of sweet, random act of kindness is what a person really needs, to know they're seen, to know they're remembered. And so I know that my mom spent the whole night thinking about how wonderful this person was in Wisconsin, and I'm sure many days after she will think about it as well.
So I have recently visited NicoleJPhillips.com, and I thought for sure the segue of this conversation about puppy chow was going to be about the show me a picture that makes you smile post.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's some puppy chow, God. Man. I was chowing down on those puppy pictures. I thought that's where we were going with this. So now I have teased and whetted the appetite of people for some puppy chow at NicoleJPhillips.com. Go and feast on these pictures of puppies and then read Nicole's post, show me a picture that makes you smile. It certainly made me smile. Nicole, thank you again for joining us on Mornings with Carmen.
You're awesome, Carmen. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, friends, next up, Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. We're going to talk about telemedicine in North Dakota. We're going to talk about the measles outbreak in New York, and we're going to talk about the fetal heartbeat bill in Georgia. All that up next on Mornings with Carmen.
That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Dr. After my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of...
So if you're wondering about telemedicine and how it is affecting residents of North Dakota who don't have access to psychiatrists, or the measles outbreak in New York, or the fetal heartbeat bills across the country, most notably recently in Georgia, I'm going to have all of those conversations right now with Dr. David Stevens of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Dr. Stevens, welcome back.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Well, I'm well. I'm well, which to say to a doctor is saying something, right?
Yeah.
Right? So telemedicine, first of all, explain to us what telemedicine is for those who may not know. When I read this headline about the use of telemedicine in North Dakota to provide access to psychiatrists to folks who otherwise would not have that kind of access, it got me thinking down, you know, several different paths: the mental health crisis in America, the lack of access to qualified medical professionals. So tell us about telemedicine, and then let's talk about it in the context of mental health.
Yeah, telemedicine means that you're actually meeting with your doctor remotely, or it could be a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant. And in North Dakota, what they're doing is for psychiatric care, because there's so few psychiatrists in the state, and the state's very spread out. And as a physician, if you're trying to go to clinics to do work, it takes a lot of time to get there. So what they're doing, essentially using video conferencing with patients across the state, and also in their residency, they're teaching docs how to do this that are psychiatrists to increase services, because they were very short of psychiatrists. And that's true across the country, especially child psychiatrists. I have a good friend that high up in a hospital system as an administrator and as a physician in North Carolina. It took her 6 months to get her daughter seen by a child psychiatrist. So these are big issues, and they're trying to bridge this gap by using technology.
You know, you bring up a good point in terms of the dearth. We just don't have any, right? So in terms of child psychiatry, like, that would be a really good specialty for people to go into. Are there other specialties like that, where you are seeing just a desperate lack of practitioners across the country?
It's growing almost in every area because we have a baby boom, boomers that are coming along, and increasing the number of people with medical problems, and not enough physicians. We're seeing more what they call physician extenders, physician assistants, nurse practitioners. You're more likely to see them when you go to a healthcare professional's office. But the whole idea, especially in the rural areas or where, you know, the density of healthcare professionals, especially specialists, are a problem, this can be helpful. But like all technology, Carmen, it can be used either for good or bad. People remember a few weeks ago the story out of California where, you know, they brought in a telemedicine robot, and this guy's talking to the patient and his daughter, telling him that he's not going to leave the hospital and he's going to die. You know, there's the appropriate use of technology, and there's times when you need somebody there with holding the patient's hand when they're telling them things, or talking to the family and explaining better. So like any technology, it can be used wisely or unwisely, and I think as we move into this area, we need to be careful that that's what happens here in the U.S., and we're still finding our way. And I think the intentions were good in California, but it didn't work out so well in that instance.
I was going to ask you this, you know, this whole question of a doctor-patient relationship, but then I recognize that I don't really have a doctor-patient relationship with my, I mean, I see my, you know, my person once a year. That's not a relationship.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess when we think about accessing doctors or other medical professionals through telemedicine, if it's not somebody that we're engaged with frequently face-to-face, maybe being engaged face-to-face through technology for some people is not only physically easier, but emotionally easier, like because so many of our relationships are now over a screen anyway.
Yeah, that's true. The sicker you are and the more seriously ill you are, the more you need a person. And even in the psychiatric area, you know, they talk about, well, they're having people come to a remote clinic to do this because people at the clinic can see their dress, their actions, and other things going on. It's difficult to tell when you're looking just at a head on the screen. And, you know, body language, tone, all those type of things have a lot to do with, you know, good patient care. And also being able to express empathy and sympathy with people is more difficult to do over screen. So for routine things and where you already have a relationship, in North Dakota, their residents are required to go to the clinic and meet in person with the patient that they're giving psychiatric help to every so often. And then they do the rest with telemedicine so that they can actually picture the person where they are. They can meet them in person. So it can be an extender and be very helpful and save a lot of time and travel, especially in states like North Dakota that are have a lot of distance between cities and where people actually live.
That's just fascinating. Okay, Dr. Stevens, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's talk about this measles outbreak in New York and specifically, you know, the relationship of trust in the government with particular religious communities. So that up next in my conversation with Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. You can find out more at cmda.org. So, Dr. Stevens, let's talk about this measles outbreak, specifically in New York, and then let's talk about not only the government's response to it, but then the response of people to the government.
Yeah, this outbreak occurred because a group of visitors went to Israel for Sukkot, a Jewish holiday, and one of them brought home measles. The measles vaccination rate in this Orthodox Jewish community was not very high, and 156 individuals came down with measles. Measles is extremely contagious, almost impossible to control once it breaks out. And about 50,000 Orthodox Jews there. So the local community, as this got worse, banned unvaccinated children from enclosed public spaces, including schools and synagogues and public parks and all sorts of places, and started a huge immunization campaign. And, of course, this had kicked back because a lot of people were blaming this on the Orthodox community, and some religious persecution came out of this. So a lot of people saying some nasty things on social media and all the rest of it. So I guess the big question, Carmen, is what about, you know, refusing immunization? We actually have a statement on that on our CMDA website on immunization, and our position is that individuals have right to refuse immunization except in extraordinary circumstances, public health issues when it gets so bad that something has to be done. And they may be motivated by moral or religious convictions or known risk or misinformation and fear. There's a lot of fear out there that these immunizations are going to harm their children. Actually, you have more chance of your child being harmed going to the grocery store in your car than you do from immunization because it's only about 1 in 1 million immunizations where there's some significant problem that occurs. So this is a big issue. You hate to see this animus towards the Orthodox community. At the same time, a lot of effort to get these kids immunized. Some of the schools have less than 50% of their kids immunized. We have what's called herd immunity. Herd immunity means when you get to a certain rate of immunization, up around 85-95% of the kids are immunized, then the chance of a measles epidemic drops precipitously. But when you drop below that, there's enough kids walking around immunized, it can be passed on and passed on and passed on.
So, you know, there's just a lot of folks who feel like if they want to make decisions for their kids, the government, you know, and frankly, doctors ought not be contradicting them in any way. And I think that this is a robust conversation that we're having in the country related to all kinds of concerns and issues and parental rights and religious liberty. And so thank you for addressing it from your perspective. Let's talk about fetal heartbeat bills and laws. I know that the Georgia governor is expected to sign that state's life bill into law, maybe as early as tonight when the Georgia legislature ends its current term. You know, give us some understanding of what's going on, because it seems to be like trending across the country.
It is, and there's states all across the country that are considering this or have already tried to do it. Most of what's been done has been blocked in the courts. What's actually happening is because of the new makeup of the Supreme Court with more conservative judges there, and actually a majority of conservative judges, they think that there may be a challenge to Roe versus Wade, and this may bring it on in the courts through these cases. And so we're seeing this on both sides. You've got states like Virginia, New York, Rhode Island, and other groups that are coming in with legislation saying you can do abortion right up to the time the baby's born, or even accusations have been made that infanticide can be done if the child's born alive after an abortion. So we're seeing an increasing polarization on both sides of this, mainly around the whole issue of what's going to happen on the Supreme Court. And states are trying to get laws passed so that if something does happen, they are in the right position to move forward or to prevent any restrictions on abortion. So that's what's kind of under this. These heartbeat bills essentially say you can't do abortion after the heartbeat can be heard, which or seen on ultrasound, which is at 6 weeks. And so this is a battle that's going to rage until it works its way back up to the Supreme Court, and we hopefully get a different decision than what they did back in 1973 with Roe versus Wade.
So, Dr. Stevens, we've got we have a listener who is asking me to ask you back to the vaccine conversation. It has aluminum. It's this person's understanding that aluminum has been added to vaccines in place of mercury. And what maybe are the effects or risks of that?
Really none. Mercury, you know, there's a lot of word going around that there were mercury in vaccines, and those have been gone for years. These are preservatives. They're in extremely small quantities. And, you know, this has been well tested. You think about the millions upon millions upon millions of children who got immunizations. I feel pretty strong about immunizations myself because I was a missionary in Africa, and when I arrived at our hospital, half the patients were there for preventable diseases, and I had a ward full of measles complications, kids dying regularly for lack of immunizations, neonatal tetanus in newborns because their mothers cut the umbilical cord with a garden knife, whooping cough wards, children dying right and left, and people have never experienced that. And seen it like I have. And immunizations are something that have been around for many years. They're safe. Are there some risk? Yes, there's some real risk of an adverse reaction, but it's extremely, extremely small. And the risk of not having your children immunized, especially if a lot of people do that, then you're putting your child at great risk for serious diseases. When I was in training, I never saw a case of measles, never. And I went to Africa, and I had 20 or 30 kids, and probably 50% of them died in the hospital. They were so seriously ill with measles. So this is not something to toy around with. I know people can refuse to have their child immunized, and I think that's a privilege until we get to the point that so many kids are unimmunized that you're putting other people at significant risk. And we as Christians imitating Christ have to have obligations to take personal risk for the good of others as well.
So if folks want to do a little research about the measles outbreak, all you have to do is measles outbreak. There are headlines today in Massachusetts. There are headlines today at usnews.com, the San Francisco Chronicle, the New York Times, the CDC. If you're not aware of what's going on with the measles outbreak, and particularly if you have an unimmunized child, you need to pay attention because the protection of your own child obviously is important. But should your child contract measles, then obviously the concern that other people would contract measles through your child is also of great public health concern. So we're just lifting this up today as an ongoing concern in the culture. And I know that it is a robust conversation, and I expect to hear from many of you about it. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much. Friends, you can visit cmda.org. You can read the blog that's posted there about trusting vaccines. You can also read the position statements related to a number of things, including abortion and when life begins. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carmen.
So on this topic of conversational apologetics, which is what John Stone Street was just talking about, like, that's our niche. That's what we're doing. We're trying to bring the mind of Christ to bear on the issues of the day so that you can walk your faith out into the world and you can enter into the conversations of this day in ways that honor Jesus with confidence and courage. He used the word catechesis last week. We talked with Dr. Albert Moeller about his new book on the Apostles' Creed. That is actually what catechetical instruction looks like. You take the Apostles' Creed, you take the Lord's Prayer, you take the Ten Commandments, you walk out those phrases, you knit them into your heart and mind in such a way that you have what we would call a livable theology. So go to myfaithradio.com, listen to the podcast in my conversation with Dr. Albert Moeller last week about the Apostles' Creed book. And if you want to be equipped in this area of conversational apologetics, I actually have a website where I do that. It's called reconnectwithcarmen.com. Hey, do you know anybody who is divorced? You know, anybody who is divorced and remarried? Are you a step-parent? Are you in a blended family? Do you have kids in your church whose parents are divorced and or remarried and are trying to do the blended family thing? My conversation up next with Ron Deal is absolutely just for you. So it is April, which means all of us should be thinking about not just the spring, but in fact the summer. So what are you doing in the middle of July? The Northwestern Christian Writers Conference is July 12th and 13th at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. All kinds of not only great speakers, but an opportunity for you to meet one-on-one with a literary agent, a publisher, or another author to gain some personalized feedback on your own writing. They're going to be breakout sessions that will fit your interests, and you get an opportunity to network with industry professionals and writers. So register now. It's July 12th and 13th at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. You can register NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com.
Parenting is about a lot of things, but one thing rises above the rest. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Parenting is about turning a dependent child into an independent adult. But more than anything else, parenting is about relationship. After decades of working with teens and their families, I've learned a few lessons. For example, a discipline problem usually stems from a relationship problem. A disconnect in communication, it probably goes back to the relationship issue. Also, a child is more likely to recognize wisdom from his parents when he first has a relationship with them. Relationship isn't just one important aspect of parenting. It is the most important aspect of parenting. When in doubt, pursue your son and daughter and preserve the relationship.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Check out his latest resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
So Ron Deal, he is a husband to Nan. He is the dad of Braden, Connor, and Brennan. He would tell you that everything else is just informational details, that those are the facts that matter. He hosts a radio program. He talks about step families and blended families. He's the director of Family Life Blended, the ministry initiative of Family Life to step families. You can check him out at smartstepfamilies.com, at familylife.com. And he's here today specifically to talk with us about Blended and Blessed, which you can check out at blendedandblessed.com. Ron Deal, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. How are you today?
Well, I'm well. You know, folks who listen here regularly know I'm a stepmom. What they don't know is that I'm a smart stepmom because of Ron Deal. I was not a smart stepmom until I came under your tutelage. So thank you for the way that you have spoken into our lives. Let's talk today about Blended and Blessed. It's an event that's coming up on April the 27th. When we say blended families, because Blended and Blessed suggests we're going to be talking about blended families. So when we say blended families, who are we talking about?
We're talking about families where there's at least one step relationship with a step parent and a stepchild. There's many, many ways people find themselves in this situation, from people who have been widowed, or one person has been widowed, they have children, they marry somebody who's not the biological parent to one to their children, and that's a step family. To people that have been through a divorce and are now marrying somebody else. There's lots of people these days who are getting married for the very first time. Both people, both adults, are marrying. This is a first marriage for both, but one of them had a child from a previous relationship, and that forms a blended family. So we're talking about complex family dynamics and how you bring that under the lordship of Jesus Christ and make your family a blessing to everybody in the home.
And how many American families are we talking about when we're talking about blended families?
Yeah, here's the deal, Carmen. 40% of all families who are raising children are blended families. 113 million plus individuals in the United States have a step relationship of some kind. You may be like my brother-in-law became a stepson when he was 48, I think. You know, his parents, his dad died, his mom married later in life. He immediately becomes a stepson at 48. Many people can reach out and touch this. And if it's not your life, it's somebody you care about and their life. Like it just impacts so much of our culture. But here's the thing. Most churches and church leaders know very little about the inner workings of a blended family and aren't really sure what to do to help bring a blessing to them, to strengthen the marriage, to strengthen the parenting system so that the children are raised in a strong home, or even if the children are out of the home, how do you do Christmas and holidays and deal with the changing family identity? That's why we created this event, Blended and Blessed, which in a nutshell is a live stream event that anybody in the world can participate in through their smartphone, their laptop. But we're bringing it to the Twin Cities this year. We've done this twice, and it's been highly successful. And we're excited to be live in the Twin Cities. Now, if you're listening right now and you don't want to come to the live event, you don't have to. You could just pull out your smartphone and get involved with it. It's that easy to participate in. But we think it's pretty exciting that people get to come and be part of the crowd at the event itself, too.
So if you are listening to us in Minneapolis, St. Paul, on one of our faith radio signals, we really want to encourage you to plan to attend this live at Berean Baptist Church in Burnsville on April the 27th. If you're listening anywhere else and you can't get to the Twin Cities for the live event, we're really encouraging people to go to blendedandblessed.com and check out, you know, where the live stream is going to be hosted in a church near you, or to consider hosting an event. This is one of the things, Ron, that I love about this, is that you actually are equipping and empowering local congregations and even individuals to host this in their own home or in their own church in order to, you know, let their communities know they care. They know about blended families. They care about blended families, and they want to be equipped to walk alongside blended families in their own communities.
Carmen, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for the church to step into this arena. You don't have to have the expertise. You don't have to bring somebody in and spend a lot of money. For $99, you can put as many people in the room as you can get to show up on that Saturday, April 27th, and have an event. We'll do all the programming for you. That's what we're doing, bringing in a number of speakers, a worship team. It's going to be a very biblically based, practical seminar day of information sharing. I'm going to be interviewing, get this. One of the things I'm always interested in doing is helping adults understand the experience of their children better, no matter what the age of the kids are. So we're going to be interviewing live on stage a mother and a daughter who have lived through the complexities of a divorce and then mom remarrying, dad getting married to somebody else, the daughter moving back and forth between homes through her all of her adolescent years. We're going to be talking about their experience of that and how it's similar and different, and just trying to flesh out what are the things adults need to understand better about children so they can be better parents and step-parents.
So let's talk about some of the unique challenges that are faced by blended families, because I am quite confident, because in my own experience of being, you know, in local churches, I'm quite confident that most local churches still think about family by one discrete definition. And so when they're doing planning for, let's say, Mother's Day, they are not taking into account the complexity of the family systems that exist in that congregation. Talk about some of the unique challenges that blended families face in relationship to the church.
Well, you mentioned Mother's Day, so let's just go with that. So, for example, it's a surprise to a lot of people to hear this, but I hear from a lot of stepmothers that Mother's Day is the most difficult day of the year for them. And you step back and you go, well, why? I mean, what's the problem with that? Well, it's an identity issue. I'm, as a stepmother, doing a lot of work for these kids. I love them like crazy. I'm putting my best foot forward. We are, in effect, trying to become family to one another. And yet, their definition of me is not yet mom. And so, you know, when we go to church on Mother's Day, is that my day? Is that not my day? Am I stepping on their mother's toes by saying, yeah, celebrate me? If the pastor says, hey, all the moms in the room, thanks for being here. Is he talking to me? You know, I think he is, but I'm not sure my stepchildren think he is. And so there's this tension, and it comes to the surface immediately because we're all trying to figure out how we fit together in this family puzzle. So honestly, a lot of stepmoms just don't go to church. Or they go, but they kind of need their husband to run interference between them and the kids. And the husbands are kind of caught like, I don't know how to walk that line. And so it just becomes a lot of anxiousness on that day. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that's going on under the surface that I think a lot of people are unaware of if you're not in that journey. And a lot of pastors just don't recognize, what do we do about that? Well, we honor moms. Yeah, but it's more than that. Yeah, we do marriage ministry. Yeah, but there's a lot of things that you say in marriage that don't necessarily apply or apply differently as it relates to a stepfamily marriage. And there's challenges to stepfamily marriages that couples in first marriages just don't face. You know, back to this Mother's Day thing. If you're doing marriage enrichment with a husband and a wife, stepmom, the biological mother can be one of the sources of contention in their marriage relationship. How often do you address that in your marriage ministry? You know, those kinds of things that are real life on the ground, make a difference in their world, are subjects that most marriage ministries just never address. So this event and the curriculum and the online resources that we've developed over a period of time are all about strengthening blended families, helping that marriage go the distance, restore stability in the family for the sake of the next generation.
So when we come back from our break, I'm going to ask Ron Deal about how we break the generational cycle of divorce by being really good, redeemed marriages where kids can thrive. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen as I continue my conversation with Ron Deal from Family Life Blended, who's joining us via Skype. Continuing my conversation with Ron Deal, we're talking specifically about the Blended and Blessed Conference. You can check it out at blendedandblessed.com. It's a global event taking place on Saturday, April the 27th. But if you live in the Twin Cities or you can travel to the Twin Cities, it's going to be from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. live at Berean Baptist Church in Burnsville. So we'd love if you are able to attend live, the live event, that would be great. If you can't, we're certainly inviting you and encouraging you to attend the live stream, and you can check out blendedandblessed.com to find a location near you or host it yourself. So, Ron, when we talk about blended families, in many cases, we're talking about divorce at some point along the way. We're certainly talking about families whom God has drawn together in ways that many of us would not consider traditional. I happen to be in one of those. You reminded me earlier that I was actually in a step relationship before I became a stepmom, because my mom got remarried. My dad died when I was in high school, and my mom remarried. I mean, I was like, you know, old already, but I had a stepdad, and that's kind of odd as an adult. And then I became a stepmom, and you know, and as we look at the complexity of family relationship today, talk with us about the importance of Christians engaging in this conversation in order that we can break the generational cycle of divorce in this country.
Okay, so I have to just insert this before we jump into the answer to your question. So you've just talked about your stepfamily. During the break, there were two commercials, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. She is a stepmom. I mean, a lot of people don't know that. She's a stepmom. She married a man with children. And I've interviewed her on Family Life Today about their family and their situation. The second was Chip Ingram and his radio program. You just did an ad for that. He's a stepdad. You know, people who listening right now who think this is an anomaly, no, these are the Christian leaders many times that you're listening to day in and day out, as well as people just walking around the world. This is, you know, non-traditional is the new traditional. I hate, you know, whether that should be the case or not, that's a theological discussion. But the truth is, lots of people are impacted by this. And the church, I think, has a responsibility to step in and go, yeah, we're going to help you. By God's grace, we're going to help you. Because, back to your question, there's a next generation here. And here's the great thing that we know. Again, many blended families are formed not by divorce, but by a death of a spouse. And so what we want is stability in that family story. Death is difficult. It has sent ripples all the way through the life of the family. If there's a new marriage, we want stability as it relates to them raising children or dealing with their adult children and now grandchildren, so that the family continues to move forward as a unit. When a blended family does follow divorce, we want to break that cycle. It's true. Divorce is more likely in the second generation. If parents divorce, kids are more likely to grow up, get married, and divorce themselves. We want to break that cycle because we want to move the family back towards God's original intent for one man and one woman to be married till death do them part. And we actually have research to suggest that we can actually do that. And the mitigating factor is a healthy blended family. When a marriage goes well, the stepchildren, the stepparents, and the relationships mold and bond the way everybody hopes and intends for them to. Then when those kids grow up, the likelihood that they have single marriages that are high quality relationships goes up as well. In other words, we can take back God's design for the family in one generation. But what has to happen in the middle is the step family has to be strong, has to be healthy, has to function well. The relationships have to create a safe place and love has to be demonstrated within the home. That's essentially what we're trying to do to help this generation, to help them now, but to also help the next generation have the chance to live the life God intended for them.
Ron, you and I are going to have to leave it right there today. I sure hope that you'll come back and visit with us again because I have so many questions. And I intend to participate in the Blended and Blessed Conference via the live stream. We want to invite everyone to do so. You need to go today to blendedandblessed.com. If you want to attend in person live, it's going to be at Berean Baptist Church in Burnsville, Minnesota. Again, it's April the 27th, 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. or via live stream around the globe and right where you live. Ron Deal, thank you so much for joining us today on Mornings with Carmen.
Thanks for having me.
All right, friends, I'll be back in literally 1 minute. Okay, so I'm going to admit to you, I didn't even know that people were voting on stuff today. Did anybody know that? Is anybody aware that there are some places they're voting on stuff today? If there are local elections happening in your community, I kind of want to know. I'm going to have to check and see if there's local elections happening in my community. I didn't know today was a voting day. Did anybody else know that? Voting is important. So if people are voting in your local community today about local stuff, get out there and vote. That's in the little PSA. Today is Autism Awareness Day. I do know that. And so be sure that you raise your own awareness about autism. If your church would like to begin engaging with families who have children with special needs, I'd encourage you to check out keyministry.org. We've talked about a number of things on today's program. If you want to go back and grab the podcast so that you can share it with someone new, we would very much appreciate your doing so. You can grab every podcast for this program at myfaithradio.com. I've got some cool stuff posted at my ministry website, which is reconnectwithcarmen.com. If you don't already, please go there and sign up for my little e-newsletter that I send out once a week, covering a ton of stuff that I frankly just don't have time to get to here on the air, which I know surprises you, but is true. I love spending time with you each and every day. Thank you for including me in your day. Let me know how it is that we are helping to encourage and equip you for your walk of faith in the realities of the world. You can always email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com, or you can text us, 877-933-2484. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.